Welcome to The Life of Letters, a podcast exploring the history and future of calligraphy, handwriting, type design, and all things lettering. Join me, Laura Edrelin, a London-based calligrapher, as I connect with artists, historians, stationery experts, and more from around the world to uncover the stories behind the letters and the journeys of those who bring them to life. In today's episode, I'm delighted to be speaking with Athena Corley-Yu, founder of Meticulous Ink, which is a letterpress and fine stationery business based in Bath. With an endlessly positive outlook and a multi-hyphenate in the world of paper, Athena is a very hands-on creative, doing bespoke print, origami, copperplate calligraphy, teaching workshops and running a beautiful high street stationery shop. Endless list. And it's really just a stationery lover's idea of heaven by the sounds of it. So Athena, firstly, a huge welcome to the Life of Letters podcast. I'm so excited to be talking to you today.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's lovely to have you. And we first met at the London UK Pen Show in March, I think it was earlier this year, where you and your sister were running your Meticulous Ink stand, which was hugely busy. And just a lovely taste of what you offer at your shop in Bath, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, the main thing I didn't really ask you was how it all began. So I wondered if we could start there. Can you tell us a bit about how Meticulous Ink started?
Of course, yes. So I opened Meticulous Ink in 2010. Before that, I studied arts and media. So that's how I sort of went down the rabbit hole of stationery. Is I studied arts and media, ended up specialising in fine art print because no one else used the print studio. And so it just kind of became, you know, a semi-private personal studio that was quite big. And, you know, had like two technicians all to myself, which was great. After university, I then got a job at a private stationer's in London, in Sloane Square. Worked there for a year and a half, I think, and then got headhunted by another stationery shop in Mayfair. And so I kind of thought, oh, I must be good at this. And so worked there for a year and a half and did a bit of negotiating. So got them to teach me how to use the design programs, because before then I was doing much more of the print consultation, dealing with the customers, and then lots of hands-on print finishing work. So quality checking and packing and tying ribbons and scoring cards and all that kind of thing. And then it came time to leave London, and prior to all of this, I'd always wanted my own business. So since I was 11, growing up, we didn't have a lot. And there were a few moments where we really didn't have any money. And there was a particular moment when I was 11. And I remember that moment and thinking, I want to be in control of my money. I want to be in control of my own destiny. I'm going to have my own business. I don't know what it was going to be in, but I knew that I would have my own business. And so when it came time to leave London, I kind of thought, do you know what, this feels like the moment, so I'm gonna do this. And so got a business loan, started the business plan in January. Got the business loan in June, handed in my notice in August. I think found the shop in July, got the keys in September and opened the shop in October. And opened the shop with the business loan, my life savings and three credit cards before I left my old job.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Poured and then opened everything into it, yeah.
Yes, yeah. But I had this absolute confidence that it would work. I just knew I could do it, and I knew it would work. And, you know, did a lot of research as well on where to open and, you know, the location of the shop, and a lot of visualizing as well of, you know, what the shop was going to be. And I just knew it would work.
Yeah. And amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. And here we are.
And it did.
Yeah. Here we are, 14 years later.
Yeah. So 15. 14. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Still here.
Wow. And what, even further back than that, can you remember sort of the spark that got you interested in stationery and fine art print? Or was there something you know, were you the typical kind of bubble letterer at school and, I don't know, doing all those kind of things that now you can be like, oh, there's the dots.
Yeah. So funnily enough, my mum found a like an old book from secondary school, and I'd covered the entire front cover in loads of variations of A, of a capital A, like calligraphy and, you know, black letter Gothic style. Amazing. And bubble letter and, you know, like loads of different variations of just loads of different fonts and typography. So always been creative from very young and very encouraged by my mum to be creative. You know, we'd always have art materials around the house, and I always loved drawing and things like that. And then having, you know, the Chinese side of the family, then when they would come to visit, there would often be, you know, very elaborate sort of plastic pencil cases that had like the button and the thing pops out and the you know, the secret compartment, and then you have a little stand to put your pens in, and, you know, all this, you know, Asian amazing stationery and rubbers and, you know, hilarious novelty rubbers and things like that. So we definitely had that growing up. It was really university then that, you know, the printmaking and the more typography side. And I think it was really interesting for me to come into it from that print side and, you know, knowing which print methods work together, and then going very specific into stationery design rather than graphic design, and, you know, learning what the correct form is in terms of an invitation and, you know, the those kind of traditions of the RSVP going in the top, you know, the bottom left hand corner and things like that. And
yeah.
So it's nice to have learned from that side and that specifically. But yeah, generally just have always been very creative and loved all the making and all the hands-on things and all that tactile really good stuff.
Yeah, and all those details. I remember seeing, you know, even on the stand, everything beautifully packaged and the lovely colours that you use, and just obviously all the things that you've created over the years with such synergy. And, you know, there's a lovely hand touch side to what you do. But of course, you also have these incredible letterpresses, right?
Yes.
These are pretty special. Can you tell us a little bit more about what what you have and where they live and how you got them? So two letterpresses?
So we actually have we've got quite a few different printing presses. So the two biggest ones, we'll go biggest to smallest. The two biggest ones we have are two original Heidelbergs, which are from the 1960s. One is the original, so uses ink to print with, and then the other is converted, so it does hot foiling. So they both create a lovely impression, or we now use them to create an impression and that lovely textured print in the card. Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of sculptural printing.
Yeah. So the slight relief as you touch the surface, right?
Yes.
Wherever that... Okay, yeah, lovely.
Yeah, so it's debossing. So it's where it's pushed into the board rather than embossing, which is raised up.
Okay, on the board. Okay, yep.
So we've got two original Heidelbergs. Then we have a Minerva Cropper, which is a treadle press, which is foot operated.
Sounds like something from Harry Potter.
Yes, has a big flywheel on the side and foot powered, so is similar in it's a clamshell press as well. That one needs a bit of TLC, so it's missing some parts. So that's my long-term project.
Keep going. I've got so many questions. I will wait. I will be patient.
So then we have a Stevenson Blake proofing press, which is like a flatbed A3-ish size printing press. Really good for doing like one-off posters and prints and things like that. Then we have three tabletop presses, model number 1, 2, and 3. And they each, like the model number one is a little tiny little, you know, like prints maybe an A6 card. And then they each get bigger. And they are from around 1870 to 1890. Wow. So they're our oldest presses. And they're just lovely and very, quite sentimental, because two of them used to belong to Simon Smallwood, who taught how taught us how to do letterpress printing. Wow. And he sadly passed away a few years ago. And but we had the opportunity to take them on, which is really nice. Incredible. And, you know, got a little bit of his equipment as well that go with the presses. So there's like a little pair of hilarious leopard print tweezers that came with the presses. Nice. Which I think is very, very Simon. He was hilarious, a hilarious man. And then we have two slightly more contemporary printing presses as well. We have a KSF 4, which is a tabletop foiling press, which is what we use for doing our notebooks personalization. And then we have our pencil printing press, which is set up specifically to print and personalize pencils.
Wow. So,
and I think
two.
That's all of them.
I just went, yeah, you got two, right? Yeah. Wow. And where have you... I mean, I guess each one's got a bit of a story, but where have you sourced these from? How have they, I mean, obviously the Simon Smallwood one has come to you, but are they things that have been passed to you? Have you had to search high and low for them? Have you been on the lookout for them, or are they just sort of ended up in your, I don't know, care?
So the two big ones, the two original Heidelbergs, they're the ones that we use for the majority of our bespoke print work and for like our greeting cards and our stationery on the shelf. So when we first opened Meticulous Ink, I actually used the previous company where I used to work to produce all of our bespoke work. And there was a few jobs that came through that were not as meticulous as I would like. And being a fresh new business, of course, I was very aware that I wanted everything to be very meticulous. And so instead, in the business plan, I think I'd planned for in the third year we would get our first press, but it turned out that it was like the third month of opening that then we decided to get our first press. And we had a day of training for the original Heidelbergs. We had a day of training with Richard Lawrence, who is now based in Oxford, and then put an advert on a letterpress forum website and just put an advert up there. And it all happened very quickly. It was like within a few weeks, then we had someone reply to the advert. We'd purchased this first printing press. And then we forgot about the advert. So we left it up there, acquired the first press, and there was a whole load of drama around the first press because it almost fell off the lorry when it was being delivered. But it was all fine, and thankfully they're very robust, and so it was all happy. But then a month after the first press arrived, then someone else responded to the advert and said, oh, I've got a Heidelberg, I'm going to scrap it unless you want to buy it for the same, you know, the scrap value. So then we had two.
You were like, well, we've already got one, we may as well, they should be together.
exactly. And so then got the second press, and then so then we had the opportunity to adapt that one. So that one is the one that does the foiling, and so then we had like two different print methods.
Amazing.
So it all worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
And then we took down the advert because then I had no more money.
You didn't need any more.
No.
And so in your shop you've got I presume people walk in to the sort of upstairs bit and it's all shoppy and lovely and stationery, and then is there a downstairs where these live in the dungeon?
So yeah, it was only in September actually we moved the presses. So initially the two biggest presses were upstairs, and the shop area was very, very small, just at the front of the shop, just because of where we were able to actually locate the presses in the building because of the structure of the building. But in September I decided to move the presses downstairs so that we could expand the actual shop area. So it's almost 2.5 times bigger than it used to be.
Wow.
And that was a whole drama of because we had to dismantle the presses, move them downstairs, and then rebuild those two original Heidelbergs. And they're each just over a ton in weight. Wow. Like they're really big, quite complex printing presses, so you have to know the right person that knows what the hell they're doing and, you know, is equipped in moving these, because they're very front heavy as well. They're very specific machines, and thankfully I do know the right person.
Uh-huh.
And it was a stressful week, but we got them into the basement. They're very happy now. And then he also helped us move the treadle press, which is also pretty heavy, into the upstairs. So that one is much smaller and that one is upstairs. And our smaller tabletop presses are upstairs as well. So you can see them behind the counter when you come into the shop.
Lovely.
And then, yeah, the two big ones are now in the basement.
Are they noisy?
They make a lovely sound.
Really?
They're quite, like, they look very steampunky, right? They're very, you know, cast iron, black, yeah, big, heavy looking machines. And when you turn them on, so it's powered by a single motor, and then there's a big flywheel on the side. So there's like the whirring of the flywheel, but when they're actually operating, they breathe. So they've got this air suction system going through them to help to blow the top sheet on the pile up, just to lift it. So it'll only pick that one up, and then to suck, to actually pick up that one sheet as well. So there's this whole air suction. So it's like they're breathing. It's this like whooshing, breathing sound as they're printing. And it's a lovely sound. It's like, calms my heart.
Yeah. Oh gosh, I can sort of, it sounds like a really sort of sensory experience for you, because I guess there's a real system in place in terms of what you need to line up and get ready. We'll come on to that in a minute because I'm probably not saying that right. But then getting the materials in place, getting the paper in place, getting the machine to do all that suction, and then getting it printed, and then seeing the final thing. And absolutely, you're right, there's this sort of heartbeat, breathing.
Yeah.
You're doing it in tandem with the machine.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
Working together. And so on that idea of kind of designs and what you're putting into the machine, because I have literally no understanding of what it could possibly do, are we talking about little letter blocks that you're kind of, you know, the reverse of what we would normally see, and you're placing them? I'm thinking like, you know, the early days of printing a newspaper and lining everything up and spacers and things like that. Or is it created, you know, scratched into metal and, I don't know, printed in another way? Or neither?
So we can do both.
Oh.
So we have, there's the more, there's traditional letterpress printing, which uses metal and wood type. So that is what you're thinking of, where you have the individual letters and you're restricted by what physical type you have. So both the typeface and the size of the font that you actually physically own then restricts what designs that you can make. So we've got, a small to medium sized collection of metal and wood type, and the majority of that we use on the proofing press and on the model number 1, 2, and 3. So we use those in our workshops. We do letterpress print workshops, and then people can come and we teach them how to set their type. So you set your composition, and then you get to actually print your own little letter based artworks. And like, it's wonderful. I think it's particularly wonderful for people that have, you know, been 100% online or, you know, in a digital world in terms of graphic design and things like that. And then to actually come and physically set the type is really nice feeling to experience that when someone comes to the workshop and, you know, they're actually, they're physically setting the leading and the kerning and like setting up the letters and getting all their spacing right. And, you know, if it doesn't look quite right, then they're having to undo their form and, you know, find the physical right size bits to actually put in. So yeah, it's lovely to be able to do that hands-on typography. So we do that, but mostly for like workshops or for one-off like poster prints and things like that. And then for the majority of our bespoke work and for things like greeting cards, designs that we do, then we make new polymer plates or copper dies. So that gives us the freedom to then be able to do, you know, use calligraphy or illustration, any font, any typeface, any size that we want. And then a polymer plate is made. And so that we use for the ink. And also it does protect the type. So the polymer plate, because it's flexible, then we can like really smash into the board and get that lovely texture without damaging any metal or wood type. if we're using metal and wood type, then we tend not to create that texture. Okay. Because it does, you know, it damages, and we want to keep all that beautiful history and that lovely texture in the wood and the metal type, and they're so easily damaged.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So the amount of pressure supposedly is like 18 tons of pressure when the press is going in the Heidelberg.
That sounds like a lot.
It's a lot of pressure, you know? So no fingers in the press.
Yes.
And then we use the copper dyes then for the foiling for the heat process, because it conducts heat very well and they look really beautiful. So it's a really nice thing for people to be able to keep afterwards. You know, if they're getting married, then they can get to keep that beautiful plate afterwards, yeah, as well. And it's a really nice sort of heirloom as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. So you can kind of mix styles together. Yeah. So you could do, I think I've got one of your postcards, which is beautiful because it's got, obviously, it looks like the hand-crafted calligraphy, but then there's this lovely little postbox in the middle, and there's illustration.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you can combine all these different elements. It's not sort of one or the other.
Yeah.
Mm. That's beautiful. Beautiful. And what is your kind of favorite thing to create on these, or what sort of stationery are you like, this is beautiful? I mean, that's a big question when you do so much.
I really like designing new products for the shop. It's really, really fun to think of a thing and then design a thing and then print the thing and make the thing and be like, oh, there's the thing.
Yeah.
So that is a really, really nice process. It's also, it's really nice when you get a client that are very open to suggesting things and understand your skill and your, that you've been doing this for years and that you can create something, like someone that's open to you creating something for them. Is really, really fun.
Yeah, and that's lovely.
Yeah, definitely one of my favourite things.
But you've got that scope. So there's a little brief and then you've got that
scope
too.
Yeah, but it's something like, you know, we had, there's like a couple that comes to mind that I often think of, and they were so lovely. And they had a painting and they wanted to theme their wedding invitations around this painting. So they wanted to use like a similar kind of style, similar colours. And it was this sort of abstract jester getting married. And so it had like crazy colours, like really cool patterns in there. And it was like red and green and teal and turquoise. And so we pulled all of those colours out. And then we did an illustration sort of based on this painting. And the couple really love cats as well. So we included loads of little cat motifs all throughout. And, you know, they were really open to like, oh, yeah, do you think this would work? Yeah. And I'd be like, OK, what about a patterned end paper? And we could put a ribbon, and they love books as well. So we did the wedding was like a book, the invitation. And we did little ex libris plates in the front. And then
What does that mean?
A little book plate in the front of the invitation. So that had the calligraphy names of who was getting invited.
That's so cute.
And for their wedding favours, we did bookmarks and then would calligraphied individuals' names. And they chose an individual book as the wedding favour as well for everyone. And it was just like, it was a really nice joint venture of like me suggesting things and then being like, yeah, that sounds great, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. And it totally aligns with what everyone's thinking, and then it pulls together this lovely synergy, doesn't it? Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Beautiful. Yeah, yeah. That's so, yeah, so fun.
That's so cool. And our theme for this series is all about community, and I know, again, sort of touching on the fact that you've done lots of client work, so you've obviously got this incredible shop for stationery lovers, but you also run the workshops with the letterpress. You do some courses as well, sort of supporting other business owners and coaching them, and you host an annual festival. I just wondered if you can kind of talk us through some of these other elements that you also offer.
Yes, we do a lot of things. We do. So we do We did bespoke printing. That's kind of our main area of work, I would say, for Meticulous Ink. And then we've got the shop, and I do business coaching as well. And we teach workshops. So we do copperplate calligraphy, brush lettering and letterpress printing. They are sort of our regular workshops. And we've just started launched Modern Lettering Kids Edition, so through the holidays and stuff, so you can come with your child, or you can like drop off your child and they can learn some amazing calligraphy and like lettering skills, and yeah, have a great time making things.
And is this all in the shop?
Yes. So we've got a big table at the back that we pull out, and then it's 8 maximum participants, so it's like a nice intimate setting, and you get to be in the shop with all the lovely presses. It's all very nice. And then we run the On Paper Festival as well. So this will be, I think this is our fourth one. And we did it before the pandemic, and then obviously the pandemic happened. And then we did it the year before last, I think. So we took a break last year, and this year, with us being 15 years old this year, this is our biggest one. And so we're running lots and lots of different workshops from Tuesday the 17th to Friday the 20th. So there's like book binding, botanical ink making, zine making, there's journaling for well-being. I'm teaching a metallic calligraphy workshop as well. So you get to use Coloro metallic inks. So fun. And there's a nib holder carving workshop. So you get to carve your own nib holder out of wood. It's really cool. And then on the Saturday, the 21st of June, we are running the Grand Fair, where we've got over 70 exhibitors signed up. So there's like printmakers, artists, stationers, fountain pen makers, someone doing origami. There's like all sorts of beautiful paper related people. And there'll be lots of interactive things as well going on. And yeah, definitely with community, I love bringing people together and like doing things, like doing the fun thing. And so we're doing a stamp rally as well. There's going to be like lots of interactivity there. So you'll come to the Grand Fair and it'll be a full day of like doing really fun stuff with paper related things. And I love that. Like, I love throwing a party. And I love, one of my friends once said to me, there are people that are inviters and there are people that are invitees, and I'm definitely an inviter. Like, I love to make a thing happen and for people to come together and like have a great time. It's wonderful. I love that.
And we need both, right? We need the people inviting and we need the people to come.
So exactly.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And can you remember the moment where you were like, yeah, I think I'm going to do a festival, because that is a big undertaking, right?
Because we did it much smaller previously. So we hire Walcott Chapel, which is this beautiful, like small to medium sized event space. It used to be a chapel, but it's all painted white inside. It's like a gallery, beautiful, but it's got like such a lovely feeling inside that building. I feel like, I don't know, the ghosts are happy. You know,
you're doing something with their space.
Yeah,
you're bringing people in.
Yeah. It's like good. It's got good energy. Yeah. Really good vibes about that place. And so we originally took it over to do like a bit of an exhibition of our bespoke work and like our favourite pieces, and do a pop-up sample sale in the summer. And so that was the initial thing, and then we sort of started doing workshops and like bringing people, other teachers in to run different workshops, and it went really well. And then the last one we did, on the Saturday, we did a sort of print fair, a Wheeze Goose, and you know, with it being quite a small space, I think we had like 20 vendors, maybe 15 even, in there, kind of squeezed in there. And it was like such a fun day, and it was really nice to just connect with lots of other letterpress people and printmakers. And I knew that we were going to have a break last year. I just wanted to like have a little rest.
Yeah.
And but obviously with us turning 15, it just felt correct to do something big.
Yeah.
And I'm very much a person that, like, if I'm going to do the thing, I want to do it as well as possible and as hilariously as possible. And so, and also inspired by my friend Carmen, who ran a very big Bath-based retreat this year. And I thought, okay, what would be like the big version of the On Paper Festival? And I thought, oh, Bath Pavilion, that would be really cool. Like, I've been to a few events there, like other people's events, and it's a lovely big space right in the middle of town. And I thought, yeah, let's try and do that.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Go big or go home, right? I think
exactly.
It's, you know, when you've created a space as well, I mean, that's the dream, isn't it? Having a space and you put absolutely everything into that, into financially and probably energetically as well,
yeah,
to get that off the ground. And 15 years later, you can celebrate just how big, yeah, a success that is. And it is taking those moments to pause and reflect and go, actually, I've done all-. Otherwise, you're just kind of grazing, yeah, through, you know, you're just sort of,
definitely,
we're on to year 20 and so, yeah, on and so on. But actually, you have created something incredible, a space where people can come and access such beautiful things. And you're keeping alive all of these wonderful, well, printmaking techniques, but also the press is a space where people can come and see and have a go. And it's just, it is, you know, as you say, it's that lovely sense of community with lots of different spokes on the wheel, right? The workshops, the coaching side, and then the festival. Is the festival something that you're going to run every year? Or is it something that just, maybe. I mean, I've called it an annual festival and totally, so I'm putting that out there. I think you should make it an annual. No, you, yeah. Is it, or is it something, yeah, every 5 years?
Well, I think definitely every other year.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see, you know, on the 22nd of June, once this one is done,
yes,
then we will 100% confirm.
Yeah. If that's a very sensible thing. You can tell that you've got, you know, the business mind there. You're,
yes,
not just going, yeah, we'll do it every year, and then maybe not being able to or whatever. But
exactly.
And over the years, you've worked with some incredible brands. I, for one, kind of just ended up with one of your Meticulous Inks calligraphy pads, which was a partnership with Mulberry. And I hadn't really put two and two together. I just love the pad so much. And then when I saw you at the London Pen Show in March, I was like, hang on a minute, you make my pad.
I recognize this.
I thought it was just a one-off that somebody, a close friend of mine, had gone, oh, I won't use this, but you're a calligrapher. That's what tends, yeah, to happen, right? You're a calligrapher. It's a bit like the presses. You're,
yeah,
you look like you need a press. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. Yes, I will take it.
Yes, I will. Yes. More ink? Yes, I shall take it. So are there particular projects that you've done with brands that have really stuck with you? Are there any that you'd love to do?
Ooh, so projects that we've done, the collaboration with Mulberry, that was pretty amazing. So we ended up, we collaborated on some products. So we did a selection of Christmas cards, and then we did the calligraphy practice pad. And in at the their flagship store in London, so they built us the nest, is what they called it. So they built this kind of nest, I suppose, and it was this kind of circular teaching area in the middle of the store. And so we did a run of workshops there, and so everyone would receive one of these Mulberry calligraphy practice pads as well, and we teach them copperplate calligraphy. And then they also sent us to their Paris flagship store, so we taught some workshops there as well. So that was really amazing.
Wonderful.
And we've collaborated with Anthropology as well. So when they opened in Bath, they've got a big store in Bath, and we collaborated with them on a selection of different greeting cards as well. And so they were supplied in the bar store, and then in a few other stores as well. And we've done also a collaboration with Burberry. So we featured in, they did this series of films, talking, well, visiting all different parts of Britain and sort of talking about heritage. And so we talked to them about letterpress, and we did a collaborative run of postcards for them. So that was really fun.
Wow.
In terms of things I'd like to do, gosh, I'm not really sure. Like, I feel really, at the moment, I feel really happy and blessed running, like, pouring all my efforts into the On Paper Festival this year. Feels really, really fun and exciting. And it feels really good to, you know, talking about community, like, bring loads of creative people together as well, in terms of from the exhibitor or vendor side. It feels really nice to, like, have people apply and, like, get introduced to all these different works and artists and printmakers, and to get to know all of these people and to be like, yeah, they are totally gonna suit the vibe and their work is amazing, and I want lots of people to see their work. And it feels really good to be able to do that and to show all of our followers, look at this amazing artist, you need to know them. Yeah, that feels really, really good and feels really nice.
Yeah, incredible, because it's a platform, right? You know, it's not only a sort of a community that you're building. There's a real platform for people who are either just kind of making their way, maybe they're not as established as you are, or maybe they just want to build that network of fellow artists or places where they can create and provide things for other people. And it's this lovely world. I think that is what I've been overwhelmed with, even just running the podcast. It's like, people love to talk about letters, and I'm so pleased because I thought, this is me. And, you know, it's all these little pockets of people, and they're all doing incredible things. Some are very similar, but everybody does it in their own way. Everyone's got their own personality behind it, and everyone's got their own techniques and ways of doing things and times of days of doing things. You know, it's such a unique craft in the biggest sense, you know. And when you've got something like you do with Meticulous Ink being this huge sort of umbrella for all of these lovely different forms within that kind of art form, and being able to share those spaces and bring them all together, I think is incredible. I mean, really just a huge thank you for joining me today. I could,
you're so welcome,
go on and on and on and pick your brains, but hopefully people have found this really useful and interesting, particularly me not knowing anything really about letterpresses and things, and how you've even begun to build a shop, which is really the dream for anyone doing anything with stationery. It's such a like tactile thing, isn't it? But to find out more about you, they can visit meticulousink.com. They can follow you on Instagram, Facebook and TikTok at Meticulous Ink, and then you're on YouTube as well. I want to check that
all
out.
All the things.
So YouTube is at Meticulous Ink Fine Stationery. And then obviously you've got the shop in Bath. So if anybody's ever in the UK or in Bath or close to Bath and can get to Bath, then you're based in Walcott Street. Of course, we will put everything in the show notes so people don't have to remember all this or write it all down. Although if you've got a lovely pen, you should be writing all of this
down. I guess you should. And if you haven't got a lovely pen, then you should come and buy one.
Then you know where to get one. Well, thank you so much for joining me for The Life of Letters.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe, leave a review, or share it with a fellow lettering enthusiast. And for all the details to connect with us, check out the show notes. A huge thank you to my producer, Heidi Cullop, for ensuring this podcast reached your ears. And finally, to all the guests featured in this series, go check them out.